Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
They wish and I wish and I wish and I wish and they wish and on me. Yeah.
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. We got the Thursday edition of Locked On Rams, so you know what that means. We have got Rams Talk Radio, Derek Ciapolla. Derek, how you doing, bud?
Doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, my man. I am doing awesome, and I think I have the mic plugged in this time. I know last time we chatted, I went to go edit, and you sounded wonderful, and I sounded like I was 10 feet away from my computer. So I think we're all plugged in. We'll see when I go to edit this thing, but it happens.
I sound like sexual chocolate. You sounded like, never mind.
That was your podcast to shine, but I'm back. Now I got to compete with you a little bit, but I'm excited to have you here. Guys, make sure to go give him a follow at DC Apollo on Twitter, also at Talk Rams. And ramstalk.net, they're constantly putting up tons of content, whether it's podcast or written content. Go check them out. Also, you can check out our podcast on the brand new streaming app Himalaya, as well as on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. All you have to do is when you get in your car, tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Rams. Boom, there you go. You're off and running. But speaking of off and running, we're going to kind of start this first segment.
Wait, it really does. Hold on. It does that?
Oh, yeah.
It does that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Alexa, play podcast Locked On Rams.
Here's Locked On Rams from TuneIn.
Locked
On Rams on TuneIn Talk Radio is currently not available.
Oh, that's BS, Alexa.
It's purely operator error, okay? It's not. Oh, trust me. I'm sure it works. Alexa.
Stupid here, Alexa.
Alexa gives me the middle finger all the time. All the freaking time.
Alexa was like, dude, I was sleeping.
Leave me alone. Just stop. Okay. What you got for me today?
Well, we're going to go and play one of our old games that we love to play. Me and James was kind of a big deal, no deal, or little deal. And we'll kind of pitch something to you and kind of tell me what you think about it. We'll go from there. We talk about the schedule. We talk about the games a lot. And the other thing that just came out was our preseason schedule. We only have one true home game. That's versus the Broncos. We have two road games and another home game in Hawaii. As you look at this, is this a big deal, little deal, or no deal at all?
It's a little deal. I think it kind of sucks for the fans in California. They're gonna lose two home games this year. One to London, one to out to Hawaii. But I also understand from the point of view is once 2020 rolls around, you're not losing any more home games. And you need to go ahead and just take advantage of the opportunities to spread your market as much as you could, to spread your footprint. And right now, Hawaii, that is a place you want to get into. You're already competing on the West Coast with the Chargers, Raiders, 49ers. You want to kind of get in there and go over there and make some fans. So I get it, but it still sucks for LA fans to have to miss out in two games this year at the Coliseum.
Yeah, I'm stuck between that little deal and no deal mark, because why I lean to no deal is really it's preseason. We saw what happened last preseason. We didn't see a lot of starters, so it wasn't like you're missing primetime football. But as far as leaning back towards the little deal slash big deal is, you know, this is still a new team to this market. Any opportunity for fans to come out and see a game, especially, you know, as this team got to the Super Bowl, we saw some cheap tickets last year. I think I went to the Cardinals game early in the season for like $12, like no joke, $12. My beer was $18. But, you know, I think that gives that opportunity for the preseason games to get some fans in, you know, that maybe not able to spend the tickets as they start to get higher up and the better teams come in and you're looking at, you know, $60-$70 to get in a game, that the preseason allows them to come in, experience the game and be a part of it, having one home game. And then you mentioned, you know, that's basically two home games that they're getting robbed from in a sense that they're going to go overseas again. So I'm not a huge fan, but I totally get your side of it as you're talking about building that fan base in Hawaii and wanting to grow not only here in California, but elsewhere. I saw a poll that kind of was trying to scale where Hawaiian fans actually have gone over the years, and it is definitely skewing in our favor over the past 5 years and over the last 3 years with the Rams being out here. that they're gaining more and more fans. So I totally understand wanting to get out there, be in front of, you know, some new fans in Hawaii. And then as for the players, you know, get out there and go to Hawaii. Just goes back to that Pro Bowl thing of like, why wouldn't you want to go to Hawaii? But I thought that was interesting to see, especially as we continue to, you know, expand and continue to travel. And we talked last time about the games in China. Mm-hmm. The Rams just seem to be open to the travel. They got it down. So for them, it's probably no deal at all. But I found that pretty interesting. Another thing that came out today was Rams signed AAF quarterback John Wolford. We talked about the AAF last time we got together and, you know, how that was a big mess and, you know, players trying to move on and, you know, were kind of left out for the dry there. We saw our old quarterback Perez go and get signed with the Eagles. Would have been nice to get him back with familiarity with the system, but we've got John Wolford coming in. You see that as a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
Who cares?
Who cares, right?
He's going to go compete with Brandon Allen.
He's a third stringer, basically, in sense.
Well, I would think this, what's going to happen is you have Brandon Allen, who's going to be running out of space, running out of years allowed for the practice squad, basically. So you want to go out there and get somebody who can kind of be the practice squad guy, and there's John Wolford. So if John Wolford comes to camp and does well, he'll wind up being that practice squad guy. That's pretty much it. That's what they're looking for. The developmental guy who they may need in the roster. He was decent with the AAF. Yeah, why not?
You know, and I'll just crank it up a notch. I'll say it's kind of a big deal, and here's why. One, I feel like we talked yesterday on the podcast talking about, you know, drafting, and we'll get into that later in the show here, but kind of, you know, looking at players, and especially in the later rounds as you're trying to fill roster spots. You mentioned Allen, who, you know, good riddance, goodbye at this point. If you haven't made an impression enough to kind of make any type of movement, then I'm not really interested. He didn't really seem to have any flash when he was in there. And maybe at this point you bring in John Wolford. You're right. He fills in a practice squad, but Blake Bortles is a 1 year rental. If John's the type of guy that somehow can develop and grow a little bit into a, you know, true backup quarterback, it saves us a draft pick in this year's draft where we don't have to go get a guy. Maybe we still do. Maybe in the fourth, fifth round, we see a guy that we're shocked is still there and they go get him. And now these guys just end up competing against each other. And it's more of a camp body than anything. But I like the opportunity that he might be coming from the AAF. Got a chance to showcase, kind of prove the point of the league is get out there, have an opportunity to show your talent, come in and sign with a team. So I'm going to say big deal. And then anything to kind of slight the AAF because, you know, they just dropped the ball there and, you know, some of their players are still getting out. So I think that's pretty cool. But interesting to see how he's going to fit in and where as far as the Rams plans. But, you know, welcome to L.A., Mr. Wolford, and we'll see how it does. And then lastly, to kind of round out this little segment here, Todd Gurley, man, we don't know what's going on with his knee. We don't know what's going on with his health. No one from the Rams, no one from Todd Gurley has really come out, you know, being a little creep on social media. You see him going out and doing all the types of stuff and living his life and seems like he's in good spirits. And I saw him posting some training videos the other day where it looked like he was working hard. I saw that he had a commercial being filmed out here in L.A. He's done some camps. He's done some traveling. Are you concerned on, you know, one, where his health is and just kind of if he's focusing on the right things this offseason? So over in general, Todd Gurley's kind of offseason strategy, big deal, little deal, or no deal at all?
Well, I think it's a big deal. I look at him and go, anytime you spend that kind of money on somebody long term and so much of it's guaranteed, everything about that player is going to be a big deal. So it's nice to see him getting around doing things. It's nice to see him training. It's nice to see him being commercials and so on and so forth. You live your life. You're out and about. It's a big deal. And it's a big deal to see that him. He's not sitting at home boo-hooing life. Oh, my knee hasn't been right. But it's a good sign to me that he's out there and doing things. And hopefully what that really tells us is some of the reports about arthritis and things like that are not as big a deal as they're being made out to be.
Yeah, I agree to that. I think it's good to see him out, you know, living his life, being happy and not bumming and not, you know, being in a shell. It does make me a little nervous. I saw kind of some footage from that commercial and he's jumping over dudes and, you know, kind of cutting left and right. And it almost in a weird way kind of encouraged me because it's like, oh, maybe he's healthier than we all think he is. But I think we're just waiting for something to come out to give us a little, you know, actual news that we can kind of chew into that makes us feel better as far as overall health. But that's probably not going to come till as we get towards camp and see how they, you know, use him getting ready and everything like that. But what we'll do from here is we'll step aside, we'll take a break, we'll get a couple words from some of our sponsors. We'll be back on the other side Thursday, Locked On Rams, Derek and Bear, right after this. I'm sorry, 50 dub, I even got it tatted on me. 81, they'll bring the crashers to the party. Turn the 02 into the 03, dog. Without 40 Ollie, there be no me. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Second segment, we've got Derek C. Apollo with us. We're talking all things Rams. Just finished up our big deal, little deal, no deal. I missed that segment. I got to keep that coming back. But we're going to move on. We kind of been talking tight ends a lot this week, and I kind of wanted to keep that theme going and pitch some of these things to you. First, kind of just general, where are you feeling overall with our tight end room as far as Higbee and Everett? How are your thoughts on them over the last couple of years?
I would like to have seen more development from them, but on the same token, I'm happy with the guys I got. I'll keep it short and sweet.
No, I get it. And you're right. I think that's a very fair assessment is, you know, you look at them and you see flashes of good stuff. It's really the consistency that's been frustrating. So kind of with that said, do you see room for an addition to that room? And let's even go a step further, doing a lot of these mock drafts. I see a couple decent top end tight ends sitting there at 31. Is it too crazy to go at 31 to get a tight end?
No. Leave it be. Jode Everett, I've been saying this for a while now. I believe Jode Everett has potential to be an all pro tight end. I really do. He's more athletic than Gronk was, but he's more raw. Okay. So before anybody says, well, you compare him to Gronk. Well, yeah, more athletically. Yeah. If they can get this guy's head right and get him working hard and developing with Goff, this guy's going to be a Pro Bowler. And you have Tyler Higbee there, who is a guy who will give you consistent stuff. So you don't need to do this. You have other needs on this team that are much more important. Work on the guys you got. For crying out loud, Sean McVay built a reputation of developing tight ends. Go develop these guys.
Well, that's my point, really, is, you know, that was what we expected coming in with Sean McVay. And he spent, you know, I guess he didn't draft Higbee, but he went out. His first pick was Gerald Everett. And, you know, he had Higbee and we've seen some development there, but not to the point of what we want. And really, is it, do you then just focus on Everett? Higbee's coming into his potentially, you know, his last year before his fifth year option. You know, would you let Higbee go and then just make Everett the guy, or is it still good to have this two tight end system, but just make it stronger and work it into the offense a little bit more?
Well, you mentioned the draft in terms of tight ends. What I would honestly do is leave it alone this year, see what you can do with this group, develop them. And then if, say, Higbee doesn't do anything else, you let Higbee go next year, and that's when you draft somebody. This year, there are so many other important places for them to go. Unless those things are covered and there's a can't-miss guy at 31, you avoid this position to me.
And is it, do you think it's more of the player that's not developing, or do you think it's them not getting the opportunity in the offense? Is it, you know, McVay needs to lean more on them, or do they need to step it up? Where do you see kind of the lack of connection there?
I look at this offense and go, you have about 45,000 different options. Okay. Right. And when you have that many options, you want to spread the ball around, and you're only going to develop the more you get the ball spread around. There's only so much you can do on a practice field, and getting your hands on a football and being successful on the field does so much for your confidence. And so when that's not happening, you have to wonder if they're not getting the ball enough, how much is their development being hindered, or are they just not doing enough in places like the film room or the practice field? We don't know. What I do know is, on occasion, especially with Everett, we see flashes of what he could be. There was a catch he made in the 49er game in 2017, the last game of the season when they got blown out, you know, when Mannion went out there and did what Mannion did, which is virtually nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And but there was that one throw on the sideline that Gerald Everett, which was just beautiful. Yeah. Gorgeous throw, gorgeous catch. And we saw a couple of those last year as well. Got him involved in the running game here and there. And so I really believe that as time goes on, we're going to see him be a solid, if not great, pro. The real question is behind him and Tyler Higbee. Is that the best he has? He'll get that steady catch we need and then disappear for the rest of the game. So what's going on behind the scenes? And the Rams, over the course of time, they've become much more secretive about what the actual process is in the locker room and in the film room. And I don't blame them for that, by the way. If I'm running an NFL team, I'm keeping right. everything under lock and key.
And as we stay on the offense side of the ball, you know, especially looking at the upcoming draft and talking about the offense, and especially how, you know, potent it was, you know, 12 weeks into the season, and then Cooper Kupp gets hurt, starts to slow down a little bit. We saw Jared Goff struggle as defenses kind of switched it up on him. But with that being said, is it important for us to go out in the draft and, you know, maybe from the third round on or anything like that, where we see value in a wide receiver, to pick up a guy in the draft and spend a draft pick on that, just in case we lose another guy that we don't have to really slow down and regroup, that we can kind of just pick up and move forward?
I think it depends on who's there, especially in the first round. There are definitive needs on the offensive line, on the defensive line. Unless you have a can't-miss receiver, a guy who totally and completely fits what you want to do, you're going to go get that defensive guy on the line or offensive line guy. Third round's a bit easier. If there's even a diamond in the rough that you've talked to, that you've seen on film, and you've already met some of those holes, then yeah, third round to me makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, that's the fun thing about the draft, and there's so many different ways to play it. There's so many different feels you get from, you know, meeting with players, and like you said, those diamonds in the rough, and kind of getting a guy even like Cooper Kupp in the third round that, you know, we knew we liked coming into it, and, you know, he's sitting there, they go get him, and he fits perfectly into our system, and, you know, really took off from there. What we're going to do is we're actually going to step aside. We're going to take our second break. We're going to be right back. Third edition coming up after this. Got Derek and Bear, Lockdown Rams Thursday, right after this. Sorry, 50 dub, I even got it tatted on me. 81, they'll bring the crash to the party. And you know me, turn the 02 into the 03, dog. Without 40, Ollie, there be no. All right, Rams Nation, we are back, third and final segment, Thursday edition. I'll be back next week with some more guests. I'm actually taking off on a flight about 6 a.m. tomorrow, so there won't be an episode tomorrow. We got Derek today from Talk Rams Radio. Well, I said that wrong tonight.
You know, just say you're dyslexic. People will believe you.
We've got Derek from Rams Talk Radio. You can find him at Talk Rams, at ramstalk.net, and DC Apala on Twitter. Hit him up. Reach out to him. They've got always amazing stuff going on out there. I want to keep this thing rolling with some of the draft talk that we got going. And one of the things that's come up, not only yesterday, but in previous talks, again, that 31 pick, right? What do we do there? Do we trade back? Do we take it? There's talks that most likely a guy like Jeffrey Simmons is going to be there. He, you know, is coming off an ACL injury. They said if he wasn't injured, he'd be a top 10 talent, maybe even higher than a top 10 talent. But he's going to have to sit out a year. Is it worth getting a guy at 31 that's got to sit out a year, even if his talent level, you know, kind of projects into like a top 10 talent that we could get later in the round?
I think it depends on the team. So, for example, if you are a Arizona Cardinals or you are a Detroit Lions, it makes a lot of sense for you just to get that guy and then let him sit, because you're not going to really compete for much next year. Lions might. The Lions are improving pretty well, actually. But for the Rams, you need somebody in the middle of the defensive line now. You need that help now. You're on that Super Bowl path again. This is like you only have an open window for so long. So if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, which they are, they're going for a guy who can play all 16 games this year. Unfortunately, that's just the name of the game. Would I rather have a guy who has that top 10 talent long-term? Absolutely. But I think any one of us would trade a Super Bowl opportunity for a maybe opportunity later on.
Yeah, that's the big question, right? You get a guy that you're hoping projects into that top five, top 10 talent, and then you get him and maybe he doesn't heal properly. Maybe he just, you know, doesn't focus on the game during that year, whatever happens. And you're right. All of a sudden you waste your first round pick on a guy that never really pans out. And you are a team like the Rams, like you mentioned, trying to win now, waiting on a guy may not seem like the best option. And continuing with the draft, we talked about, you know, tight end. You weren't really interested at 31 or even really overall in the draft. Wide receiver, you know, later rounds, third, fourth, you find a guy. Obviously, we know our needs are basically D-line, O-line, probably cornerback and safety as far as depth goes there. Do you see anywhere off the beaten path that you'd be interested in kind of having the Rams go and look at some guys?
The one that sticks out there is linebacker. It's looking like Michael Kaiser will probably be the starter back there in the middle unless they put Clay Matthews there. I look at that and go, okay, if the right guy falls, do you get him? I think the answer is yes. Also, you know, no, I'm going with that linebacker. I had to think that one through for a minute. Anywhere on the offensive line, really, right tackle, left tackle, we need more depth there. If there's a guy there that can make an impact and maybe move to left tackle next year, you go there as well.
And you mentioned Kaiser. Is he a starter in your mind right now?
Honestly, we don't know what he knows because we didn't see him on field last year.
Right.
You know, but I do know what I saw on his film when in Virginia. And I saw a guy who can tackle, a tackling machine, a person who can up there and is not afraid to make contact. And that's one area that if he starts, we're going to see improvement on compared to where Mark Barron was last year. This is not a slight on Barron, but Kaiser has the size. He has the tackling range. I worry a little bit about his coverage, but if you're doing the right thing in the secondary, you're fine. So that's where I would say with Kaiser, if we've seen the development and we do not know what's taking place in practice, if any Bonsignore told us on our show, is what you're seeing on Sunday is a product of 6 days in between. And a lot of these guys are getting first team reps throughout the week while they're resting veterans. So we really don't know what the Rams have seen. And again, they're playing it so close to vest. We're only hearing like a little bit, well, Kaiser here, whispers of Kaiser. And so we'll see, but I'm hopeful. I was a big believer of his coming out of college. I was thrilled he dropped to the fifth round. Could not believe that he dropped to the fifth round. The Rams got him. We have been eyeballing Kaiser for months at our site. We thought there's a really good chance that he would wind up being a Ram, and it happened. So,
yeah,
cool.
Kaiser, the same way I felt with Oboe as he dropped and kind of landed in our lap too, is kind of those guys that I didn't know that would fall there and then also kind of have an opportunity to land with the Rams. Have you had a chance to watch any of the Behind the Grind that the Rams series on Facebook?
No, I'll be honest and say no. I've been too busy with getting my kids through testing to be able to do that.
Well, I will say maybe one of these days you can skip talking to me and go and watch it because it is awesome. They're like 13, 15 minutes long. And the last one that they just kind of premiered was started with Andrew Whitworth and his decision to kind of come back and, you know, kind of they go and hang out with his family and stuff like that. And then they go and hang out with Joe Noboom and they talk with him. And, you know, the idea around the Rams facility is that this guy's almost a mute. He's just doesn't really talk much. And they were shocked. They were like counting his words throughout the season to say, oh, he said 10 words today and things like that. But they said he picks up so many things from the veterans. And anytime you ask him a question, he's got the answer. He doesn't stutter and he's right there with them. And same with Brian Allen. They praised him. They kind of followed him around. They learned about his background with his brothers and, you know, kind of both going to Michigan State. These both were centers, wrestler backgrounds. And they really started to build this, you know, story about how these two guys on the offense side of the ball, they feel very comfortable with. Obviously, we drafted Noboom more of his left tackle, Whitworth's replacement in a sense. But one of the things the Rams are trying to do on the offensive line is get guys that can shift down and to multiple positions. And I guess kind of what I'm getting to is it made me feel a lot more comfortable watching. And I know it's basically a TV show in a sense, but they did a good job painting the picture of giving confidence in these guys. Without seeing it, then, you know, where's your confidence level of those two guys stepping in and now all of a sudden going from, you know, a few snaps during the regular season, you know, when people had gone down, you know, Sullivan had missed a couple snaps and same with Saffold, but not full games. How do you feel with those guys getting in and getting full-time action?
I'm really confident, actually. I don't think the Rams let Saffold go, for example, if they weren't confident in Noboom. You know, they could have paid, they could have found the money for Saffold. There was room to maneuver in terms of the contracts. It would have meant renegotiating here, which hurts a little bit down the line. It would have meant moving some money around here. but they had enough of a cushion that they really, really, really felt that Saffo was indispensable. They could have brought him back. They didn't. So what that tells me is they're 100% confident, but we'll also know real quick in the first round, because there's a couple centers there, a couple offensive linemen are sitting there. And if they're not confident, we're going to find out real quick come April 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th.
Yeah. And we go kind of continue to loop back to that number 31 pick. And I know we've talked about it probably a month ago when I first started talking with you, we kind of, that was my first question, you know, do we trade back or would he grab somebody there at 31? It's been a month or so since then, so I'll kind of just repitch the question. And if it's not a player, maybe a direction or a position group. But again, at 31, are you picking a particular area, a particular guy, best on the board at 31, or are you still interested in trading back?
I'm finding the best value. So if the Rams are offered good value to move back a few spots, I take that, okay? If the Rams are offered a garbage value to move back more than a few spots, no. So in my ideal world, the Rams move back 6-7 spots max, maybe still get a player that's on their board that they can move on with. The bottom line is this. The Rams cannot, absolutely cannot botch this pick. They do not pick again until the 90s right now. So they have to do this right, especially given the holes on the offensive line, defensive line, it's really defensive line. I'm more about defensive tackle. Or end, depending on what they do with Brockers. And so with those things in mind, they need to make sure they get this right. So if you have a defensive tackle sitting there at 31 and he's on your board and he's a guy you want and can make an impact, just go take him. Unless you're confident he's going to be there 6-7 picks later when somebody trades up for you. Because it's not a guarantee you're going to find an impact guy in third, fourth round. They have been finding impact guys in third, fourth round, but it's not a guarantee they will.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that continues to make me like excited about the trade back is just how well the Rams have done in that middle rounds of the draft that, you know, last 3 years, we really haven't had a first round pick other than Jared Goff, and everything else other than that has been, you know, working in later rounds. So if we can trade back, you know, maybe early to middle of the second round and pick up a couple fourth round picks or a third and a fourth, then I'm interested because of what they've shown in the past to be able to scout in those regions. But again, you're right. There's a guy that's sitting there. You know, there's a handful of guys like Jerry Tillery's D tackle from Notre Dame that would be an instant plug and play right away. That in some of these mocks kind of finds his way down to us. You know, that is definitely a guy that's interesting, or another guy, Dalton Reisner from Kansas State, O-line, who everyone seems to be really high on, but in a lot of these mocks, either he's going in the mid 20s or he's falling to us. So yeah, I'm with you as far as, you know, have a commitment to who you like. If they find their way to 31, jump on them and let's get a guy that can play. The only thing that scares me is that, you know, we start to find, you know, maybe, you know, that safety and cornerback position, there's a lot of talented guys near the top. I mean, it's a deep draft with that, but that the Rams go and grab somebody as more of a developmental guy that, you know, is going to sit by and hopefully next year is going to jump in. And I know you got to think long term as some of these decisions, but I think if you pick at 31, I want to see this guy play this year. And if not, if you see something, like you said, value, move back a little bit, would a mid second and a fourth be enough, or are you looking for more if you're trading back?
I really, really have a problem with them not picking again until the 90s. So I'm looking second and at least a late third.
Yeah.
Okay. To where they can package maybe up to move back up deeper into earlier in the third if they need to. So to me, a fourth and a second, you know, no, I don't want to go for it. Especially if you have a guy like Risner there, Tillery there, Lawrence is there. If those guys are there, then just take the guy if he's high on your board. In past years, I've had a much better grasp on the players that fit. Okay. This year, just because of all the maneuvering they've done, the roster, it's been really hard to grasp what the thinking of the Rams are. We know they have needs of defensive tackle, but they can move in. They can move Brockers inside, which means you're not going to have a need at defensive end. We know they probably still have some needs at edge. Okay. But how they view Clay Matthews on the edge or inside has not been known to us. Okay. Offensive line. We get the impression that Noteboom and Allen are the guys on the inside. They're the stabilizing guys, hopefully, right? The young guys who would come in there. But you still have Whitworth, the elephant in the corner, who's any year now, and this next year's probably his last year. You got to get that tackle in there. So he's going to be your left tackle. Will it be Noteboom or not? If it's going to be Noteboom, then you got to draft a guard anyways. So, right. Or you go with Risner, the idea of moving somebody else along or around on that line. So to me, there's so many different variables that even though you have an idea of where there are needs, it is tough to really kind of make a call, especially since you don't have a pick in the second round and until really to the late third round. That's kind of where I'm at right now. And I'm saying that even with the thought process being, you mentioned tight end earlier in the year, and I'm going, you know, no, heck no, no. But maybe in that film room, they're really comfortable with who they got right now, and they'll go take that tight end. You know, especially like Michael Stewart, he's my co-host on Sunday nights. He kind of has a lot of experience having played like almost a decade in the NFL, right? He's saying Rams, if the receiver is there, a deep threat, go get the deep threat at the end of the first round, which is totally against my line of thinking. But he feels pretty strongly about that. So this year's draft is really kind of something I might not really have my mind set until the week of the draft to really kind of figure where they're going to go. And I'll probably still be wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's so hard. I mean, these mock drafts and just trying to understand through seven rounds what a team's going to do. And like you said, trying to understand the long-term plan of a lot of these guys and what you're doing with Whitworth and left tackle and Noteboom. And, you know, if Witt's got 1 year left, then we slide him back. Then you're right. You're going to need a guard anyway, trying to draft. Are they looking ahead to next year's draft and guys that are going to come out? And you're hoping that we somewhere are picking at this end of the draft again. Hopefully next year we're picking number 32, but you're not expecting to have that middle round pick or higher pick. So getting it right is very important, but I'm excited as we get closer and closer to the draft because, you know, it's fun to talk about, but I want to see it, man. I want to see what Les Snead and Sean McVay, those two football minds, what they can get done in the draft room and how this is going to play out and welcome some new guys to our team. And I'm excited for our chat when that happens. But until then, what we're going to do is we're going to step away today. Derek, thank you so much for coming on. Guys, make sure to go give him a follow at Derek at DCP at DC Apollo on Twitter, as well as Talk Rams, and check them out. Check out the podcast. You got a new podcast in the works. Are you ready to share that, or are we still teasing that one out?
Well, you know, we're kind of figuring some things out. We are a LA centric podcast company. I don't think we'll ever be national. That's not really our game. So we're looking at a couple things, especially with baseball season underway. But we're not going to launch something unless we believe it'll make an impact with listeners in the market. So we're really talking about it, and we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. Well, best of luck of that. And when it gets going, we'll make sure to mention it on the podcast. And we appreciate talking to you, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Awesome.
All right, Rams Nation, you know what it is. Until next time, peace.
She say, do you love me? I tell her only partly. I only love my bed and my mom. I'm sorry. 50 dub, I even got it tatted on me. 81, they'll bring the crashers to the party. And you know me, turn the 02 into the 03, dog. Without 40 Ollie, there be no me. Imagine if I never met the broskies. God's plan, God's plan.